Again, this morning we will be in the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, as we continue a series of messages on the cross bearer leading up to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And hopefully it will be an encouragement to you and to realize that we are all to be cross bearers. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Let's read here in Luke 23, verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word, so true and so plain. And help us to understand and help us to realize that we have a responsibility as believers. We were not saved just to sit, but we were saved to serve. And help us to be faithful in doing what you would have us to do in these last days. For those who may be listening or here today who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, may they not leave in that condition, but get it settled even today. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin on this series. Last week we talked about if we're going to be a cross bearer, it takes sacrifice. We use the Lord Jesus Christ. He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. And the example that we see is that if we're going to be a cross bearer, it takes sacrifice, it takes commitment, and it takes self-denial. And we covered those things last week. And now we're going to move into the seven statements that Christ made from the cross as we see Him on the cross and pick up from that how we can be cross bearers. Remember, we said last week in Matthew chapter 11 there, verse 28 through 30, Jesus made it very clear that this isn't going to be something that's going to be extremely difficult. And, oh boy, I can't do that. That's too much for me. No, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then as Pastor Ken brought out there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, where it says very clearly here, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see, when you learn to be a cross bearer, you're going to find what real life is. You're going to find real peace in this old sin-cursed world and the wickedness that's all around us and pulls us down. You're going to have the strength to make it through these difficult days. So we look at Jesus here on the cross there in Luke chapter 23. And we can pull some things out of this first statement that He made on the cross here in the book of Luke. And we notice what He said there is a prayer. Get back over here to Luke 23. And He says, "Father, forgive them." And then we notice something else about prayer is that He, at the middle of the cross, the middle statement of the cross that He made, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then the last statement of the cross was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Start, middle, end of the cross, He's praying. Well, that comes out very clearly to us then. We cannot be a cross bearer if we fail to develop a sincere prayer life. We see Jesus' life. He spent much time in prayer. He rose up early in the morning. He prayed. He prayed all night. He was a man of prayer. God the Son, a man of prayer. That ought to challenge us. If God the Son saw the importance of prayer, you remember what he said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And let's just go over there and look at that account where Jesus taught that parable. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You're going to find people that are praying, that are trusting him, that he does answer prayer. Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, if you go over there and look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, the Christian armor is given to us. And I find often in some of the books that I've read and some of the messages I've heard that this one is left out of the Christian armor a lot of times. They stop there with take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul, they're one of our memory verses, and for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I got that one down by just keep going over it and over it and over it. But that's one of our memory verses, and Paul is stressing the importance of prayer here and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is so important, and we see that, and we cannot be a cross bearer if we don't develop a good, sincere prayer life. I was reading one book on prayer, and the preacher that wrote the book, he said that he was seeking out books on prayer and getting all the books he could, and he picked up this one book and he opened it up and he started reading it, and it said right at the very first, the thing about prayer is you need to do it. So he said he closed up the book. Well, I got what I needed there. I need to do it. And you know, I did that too when I was in Bible college. I realized the importance of prayer, and I bought all the books I could find in prayer in the school library there, and we didn't really have online thing back then. And I went down to a different bookstore and buy all the books I could on prayer. And I read them, and you know what? It didn't replace doing it. The thing with prayer, you just need to do it. Prayer is just talking to God from your heart. And that's what we need to do. It's a hard thing. It takes work. Prayer is work. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 5-7 here. it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." I always think about that verse. Moderation means that you're under control. You're moderate. You're not going all to pieces. Why is it that you don't go all to pieces? Because the Lord's at hand. In every situation, we have the God of the universe. We have the Lord who created us, the King of kings and Lord of lords, that we can go directly to and pray. He cares about us. We go boldly to the throne of grace and bring our requests to Him. So that's why the Lord is at hand. He's waiting. He wants us to talk to Him. We'll see that in just a moment. But He says here in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." It means don't worry about it. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We see Jesus on the cross, and as He's hanging there, in great suffering. We talked about that last week and how He suffered, how He was treated. He was mocked, He was slapped, He was spit upon, His beard was pulled out, He was scourged. He had a crown of thorns placed upon Him. They hit Him with their fists. They made fun of Him. They nailed Him to the cross. They humiliated Him. They took away His clothes and humiliated Him there on the cross, suffering in your place and my place. And so the first words on the cross, "I hate these people. Look what they've done to me. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I'm hurting." No. First words out of His mouth, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Boy, that's something when you stop and think about it. And what did that bring? It's just what He said here. "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Think about Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, how He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. Suffering in our place. Let's go back to look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15. Seems to me that when He began that prayer, that it was the prayer that sustained Him through the suffering on the cross. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. It says here, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." He delights in our praying. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to come to Him and bring our request and talk to Him. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3 gives us a little bit of the programming of prayer. Psalm chapter 5 verse 3. It says here, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Many times in the Bible it speaks about calling out to the Lord in the morning. And then chapter 88, verse 13, other places as well. Chapter 55 of Psalms and verse 17 brings this one to us. It's agrees with what the Lord said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In 55 and verse 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." being in that spirit of prayer. Prayer is so important. Sometimes, yes, at work, we can't stop and pray, but we can be praying silently, and we can be praying throughout the day, and we can be talking to the Lord and thanking Him for things as our day goes by. Being in that spirit of prayer. You cannot be a cross bearer. It comes out from Jesus' cross if you're not a man or a woman of prayer. There's some other things that come out here too, and that is that He said, Father, forgive them. We cannot be a cross bearer if we have unforgiveness in our heart, if we're not willing to forgive others. You think about how they had treated Him and all the things that they did to Him, and yet on the cross He says, Father, forgive them. You can't be a cross bearer. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator, and they're treating Him so horribly. You can't be a cross bearer if you don't have a forgiving heart. Jesus came to forgive us. He came to forgive the sins of the whole world. It's sinful, condemned, and headed for an eternity in a lake of fire, and He forgave us. Every one of us are guilty. That's one of the things about repentance. Some people think that they're just good enough that God ought to accept them. None of us are good enough for God to accept us. None of us are good enough for God to accept us. We're all sinners, condemned sinners, headed for a devil's hell forever. But He forgave us. Here's some verses that we need to look at concerning that, and let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He forgave us. In Isaiah chapter 51, that great passage of Scripture there about the sacrifice that the Lord did for us there on the cross. It says in verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, the power of the Lord here. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He took our place. He came. That's why he came, was to forgive us. The cross was forgiveness, to forgive us of our sins. And if you go to Matthew chapter 6, back over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, this was Jesus speaking. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This thing of forgiveness, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. We don't have a forgiving spirit if we're not willing to forgive those who have offended us and have mistreated us, then we can't be a cross bearer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And that is not the passage that I wanted. I was looking for the passage where, well, we'll find it here. And I think it's down to verse 35. Let's see if I'm right there. No, we'll skip that one because I've written down the wrong reference. It's where Peter said, How many times shall we forgive? And Jesus said, It's eight. Oh, I'm in chapter 21. No wonder. Thank you, Ron. It's just getting old, isn't what it's cracked up to be. That's what one of our ladies many years ago, when I first started the church, she always said, Pastor, this is getting old, isn't what it's cracked up to be. And well, I thought, yeah, well, now I understand. 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's a lot. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. Woo! That's pretty tough there, isn't it? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, not much, and he laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Forgiveness. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a cross bearer and have an unforgiving heart. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. This is another passage concerning this. Verse 31, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We just read the story that he taught there. Jesus forgave that man of a tremendous debt. And then he went right out, and someone who didn't know him all that much was going to throw him into prison. What a picture for us. We've been forgiven of every sin that we will ever commit. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. guilty sinners. We should have that forgiving spirit. You say, well, you know, you said this would be easy. Yeah, it is. When you learn to have a prayer life like you should, and you learn to be a forgiving person, boy, what a peace it brings into your life. You can start really living life like you've never lived it before. There's another thing that stands out in the statement that Jesus made here. He said, they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, that tells us that he was thinking of those people. He cared about them. Well, we know the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Back to Psalm 103 and verse 14. Psalm 103 and verse 14. Here the Bible tells us, it says, and I'll try to get to the right one, not the wrong one. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth our frame. What did he say in Hebrews chapter 4? If you go over there, the Bible tells us there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's also translated, infirmities is translated in the New Testament 5 times as weaknesses. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He tells us to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, he cares about us. And that's what we see with these people there at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first 3 statements of the cross. First here he's speaking about the crowd that was there that was mocking him. And how they were treating him. Then he mentioned about his mother and John to care for his mother. Well, secondly was the thief and then was John, his mother. All 3 of the first statements of the cross are about others. All about others. You cannot be a cross bearer if you don't care about others. If you're selfish. Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians. Chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then he goes on to tell us here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our example, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Wasn't robbery. He is equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. This is God the Son. This is the Creator. Made himself of no reputation. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to lower myself to deal with that situation or deal with them. They can just do their own thing. What? He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. In other words, the Bible was saying that he was a man's man. He was no sissy. And he didn't go around saying, And I'm the Son of God. And look at me, I can handle any situation. I'm tough. No. He was. He probably could have whipped almost any of the other men around him. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He was a carpenter. He was a hard worker. Even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Now notice what it says. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. This cross bearing is what lifts believers up. This is what lifts you up. This is what gets you into real Christian living. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So cross-bearing is a lifter-upper for the believer. Oh, how we need to learn that. We need to think of others and not be selfish. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verses 1 through 3. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You read about the cross. He didn't make it easy for himself. They offered him that vinegar and gall, which would ease the pain. He refused to drink it. He would not ease the pain. He would suffer in our place because he was coming to save us from our sin. So we cannot be a cross-bearer if we do not have a forgiving spirit. We cannot be a cross-bearer if we do not think of others. We cannot be a cross-bearer if we're not men and women of prayer. And then there's something else that comes out here. And that is, we cannot be a cross-bearer if we have no care for the lost. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Luke 19 and verse 10 says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. How sad it is that we have a lot of believers who work with people and never, ever try to give them a gospel witness. We have church people who will never try to give out a gospel tract. Never try to reach people who are lost with the good news of the gospel. Silent when it comes to this thing of witnessing. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was the reason that he went to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together to sit with together in heavenly places, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. What he did for us, he came to save us. That was the whole purpose of the cross, was to die in our place. And of course, he didn't stay dead. He won the victory for us. He arose again from the dead. He came and won what we could not do for ourselves. Won a victory that we could not win. No way. There is not one work. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no other way to be saved than Jesus on the cross. That's why He came. Without His sacrifice on the cross, every one of us would spend an eternity in a lake of fire. That was His heart. We saw Him last time praying in the garden. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Three times He prayed it, and there was no other way to free man from his sin than Jesus to go to the cross. And so He went. And He bore our sin. He took our place there on the cross. Why? Because He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He so loved the world. The Bible makes it very clear that the purpose of the cross was to save sinners. So how can we be a cross bearer if we don't have a heart to try to reach others with the gospel? We can't. So in that first statement of the cross, we learn these things, that we cannot be a cross bearer if we are not men and women of prayer. We cannot be a cross bearer if we have an unforgiving spirit. We cannot be a cross bearer if we don't think of others more than we think of ourselves. And we cannot be a cross bearer if we're not seeking lost souls to bring them to Christ. Very clear in that first statement. All comes out. We've got six more statements to cover, and we will cover the cross bearer in the life of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us Your word. Help us to see the things we need to see to be the cross bearers that we need to be, the disciples of Jesus Christ. That our lives would find that rest that You said, that peace that passeth understanding, that real life, that true life. As Pastor Ken brought out in Sunday school this morning about real life. Help us to see it. Work on our hearts. And for those who maybe are listening online or not sure they're saved, help them to get it settled today. Help them to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive them of their sin and save them. Acknowledge that they are a sinner and get it settled today. If any be here today in our midst that's not saved, help them to get it settled. We thank You, we love You, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll turn to page number 351. 351, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Help me to be a cross bearer. 351, while we sing, if you're here and not sure you're saved, come, our personal workers will help you to get it settled today. Maybe you just have not been the cross bearer that you ought to be. And in this first statement, you see some things that you need to improve in your life. All of us ought to see things there. I see them in mine, in that first statement, some things I need to work on. Need to work more on my prayer life. Need to work more on care for others. Need to work more on being the forgiving person that I need to be. And need to work more on reaching the lost. And work to be what God would have us to be. While we sing, will You come?